Road.
Okay, so today we're going to start looking at JavaScript, and then we'll look at logic more as we're doing JavaScript, but we're going to start getting into programming. So I want you to go over to Programs, and then go to the set called JavaScript, which is the second set down. And there is a very simple set of problems that we're going to look at. The first one simply says, hello world. Okay, so that's all it does is say, hello world. So you're going back, and I probably should have taken a picture of that. You're going to go back and click on hello HTML. So under programs, go in and you're looking at the JavaScript program, so pick hello.html. And this is what comes up. When I click the OK, it changes background color, but what is there, the pop-up goes away. If I was seriously thinking about JavaScript, I would have to say that the pop-up is not the favorite way to go, but it's a good way to show things when we're only spending some time on JavaScript, okay? But the professionals try not to harass you with too many pop-ups, okay? So those are not considered good. Okay, so now I've got the thing that says hello world. And if I right click on this screen, and I'm in Firefox, if I right click on the screen, I get something that says view page source. And that's what I'm going to click on. Okay? If you're in something else, you have to figure out how to get into seeing the page source. It's easiest when you're in Firefox, so I would go into Firefox for this. Okay. So the code that comes up is the code that produced that output. Okay. And I'm just putting it in Notepad so that I can show it together with pictures and all the rest of it. Okay, so there is the code. So I start out and I write HTML. Okay? And ordinarily, when I'm doing HTML, as you know, you put in a head, you put in a body, and all of those things. And we'll go back to doing those. But right now, I want to just concentrate on the script, so that's all I'm putting in for now. But eventually, we will add in the head and the body and have it a more complete HTML. But I can do this, and as you saw, it worked. Okay, so if I go back, I get the pop-up, and I get the hello world. Okay, so the HTML, then I say script. So basically, I have to tell the browsers that I am going and working in something other than HTML. And the way I tell it that is script. Okay, script tells it that I'm working in something other than HTML. And I tell it specifically here, type equals text JavaScript. Okay, so it knows that I am coding now in JavaScript. And all of the browsers, current browsers at least, support JavaScript. Okay, so then I do a document write. And document.write writes onto the screen. And what it writes is whatever I put inside the parenthesis. And what I put inside the parenthesis is a literal. And so I'm writing a literal. Hello world is a literal. So I'm writing a literal. Okay. And then I say alert, and that's what got me the pop-up. The alert got me the pop-up. So it did the write on the paper, on the screen rather, and then it did the pop-up. When I'm done with the script, I say close the script, and then I say close the HTML. Okay? So that got me hello world. Twice. Once in a pop-up and once on the screen. Questions? Okay. Yeah.
Do you have to put the alert below the document, right?
No.
The pop-up?
No. No. It just doesn't matter which order you put them in. If you put the alert first, it will go out. Well, actually, let's play with that. So if I take the alert and I put it in here, and I'm going to save this as file, save as hello test. .html, and I'm going to save it on my F drive. Okay, so this gets me to a point where we're talking about how you actually write your JavaScript. If I had actually written this from scratch, and I are, in this case, modified something, I do it in Notepad, just like you wrote your HTML in Notepad. So I wrote it in Notepad. Now I am saving it with an HTML extension. Okay, so I'm saving it with an HTML extension. And I'm saving it on the F drive. So I'm saving it on the F drive. Okay, now if I come up here and right click on that icon, I can get a menu bar with Firefox. So I'm getting the menu bar. And when I get the menu bar, I can then say File, Open, and I can go to my F drive. And what did I call this? Hello test?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go look for someplace in here. Hello test. Okay, so the difference is when I put the alert first, notice the words aren't up there. When I had the document write first, it did the document write and put the words up there and then did the alert. Okay, now with the alert first, I'm doing the alert and then... Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted this. Okay, so now when I did the alert first, I've got the alert there, and then when I say document write, it will write on the screen. What the alert does is it causes a temporary halt. So I can go out for lunch and come back and it will be the same. Okay, it's temporarily halted. And then once I hit the okay, it is going to put out the words, hello world. So now I'm seeing the words. And I keep hitting the wrong thing. I'm looking for blue. Okay, so now it is putting out the words. Okay. So it is a matter of the order in which it executes the things, the commands. Okay.
So say if you, for what, like, so say if you wanted to do like an alert, like 18 up and only for whatever you're writing, you would put the alert first so that way they can't see the text before they hit. Okay.
Right. Right, because once it executes the alert, it goes into stop mode until you hit the OK on the alert, and then it continues on.
Okay. Like, that would be like your agreement page, your stuff like that, where you have to like make sure that you see this before you see
if you wanted page. To, sure. Okay, the next one says multiply. Okay, so I'm saying here, and this is similar to a pop-up, but it's a pop-up that is asking for data. So I'm going to enter the first number, which is going to be 7. And then I'm going to enter the next number, which is going to be 5. And I got the answer 35. Yeah. Okay, so that's showing the answer and the code. So now I'm getting a little more complicated. I'm saying, okay, inside the script, I'm going to set up a variable. VAR stands for variable. I'm going to set up a variable called answer, and I'm going to assign it a 0. So I'm setting up a memory variable called answer, and I'm giving an initial value of 0. Then I'm setting up a variable called firstNum. Now, when I make these names, they are case sensitive, and I cannot have any embedded spaces. Okay, so they're case sensitive and no embedded spaces. And then I am setting up a third variable in memory called secondNum. And setting these up in memory basically means that they are available while the program is running, and then they're no longer available. They may still be sitting around in memory, but you don't have access to them. Okay? So I've set up my three variables. And then I say, okay, I want to put up a prompt. And the prompt will say, enter the first number, and it will put an initial value 0 in the box. So the box has an initial value 0. This is in the box that it puts out for you to enter something in. It's an initial value 0. And on the prompt, it says, enter the first number. So I take whatever is entered in at that prompt, when I hit the OK, it assigns it to firstNum. So I put in a 7, so this became a 7. Then I put up a prompt and said, enter the second number, and I put in a 5, so that became a 5. Then I came down at the bottom and I said, okay, now I'm going to have answer equal to firstNum times secondNum. So it said the content of first number is 7, the content of second number is 5, 7 fives are 35, answer is now going to have 35. And then I did a document write of answer, and it wrote the 35 out on the screen. Okay? And then I closed the script, and I closed the HTML. So the user can input any numbers that they want. It will multiply them together and tell them the answer. Questions?
Not really a question, but I just had a eureka moment. This is what we've been doing for the past like 2 weeks.
Yes. HTML. Pardon me?
Plus HTML.
Right. So we've learned the HTML first, and then we've been working on logic. And I think access is something you need to know anyway, but it's a good way to start looking at logic, and then we continued on. And so now we're going to apply the logic to this.
It's nice seeing it actually be implemented.
Yes.
Like, oh.
Code,
yeah. Yes, yes. This is the real thing. So if you went and drew a flowchart for this, okay, the flowchart is a very basic flowchart. So let me make sure I've got the picture. And you're starting out, and you're going to say, okay, stop. And then you're saying something about define the variables. Okay, which we did, you saw that in the things that we did on Tuesday. So I'm saying define the variables. And then I'm saying, okay, prompt for first no. So this is an input symbol. I'm asking it to put in first no. And then I have another prompt, and I ask it to put in second num. And then I do a calculation where I say answer equals first num times, and the times is an asterisk, second num. And then I do a write. Okay, it's apparently not happy with my going down there. But I do a write. And then I can do a stop. Okay. So that's the logic flowchart that went with this program. And so you would draw that flowchart first and do the program. Now, in all honesty, is anybody going to really draw the flowchart for this? No. Okay? But that would be the flowchart that would be drawn if you had time on your hands and you wanted to draw a flowchart for it. Okay?
Being able to, you know, like, think of it and see it in your head probably makes reading the code a lot easier.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It does. And I am a firm believer in drawing flowcharts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily draw them for the whole program.
Yeah.
I will draw them maybe for a part that has a lot of questions that I'm asking. So I can see it.
It really helped me in Java when there's multiple methods that work with each other. It's just easier when you have it all drawn up. So you're like, all right, this method's going to call upon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, for someone like me, for instance, like I personally like just seeing the text, and I can kind of see it in my head, like how it's already supposed to work just from the text. But like, for the flowcharts, it's more of just like kind of what he was saying, where if you mix multiple different, like it works for almost all of them, so it's good to know how to draw the flowcharts logically, because you can just, if you ever need to write it in a different code and you don't know that code, for instance, too well, you could always draw the flowchart and then figure it out from there.
And as I said, the hardest part of programming is the logic. It's not the code.
It's a problem.
Once you're comfortable with the code, I mean, it is at the beginning, just like learning anything new is, but once you know how the code works and you're comfortable with the code, then it's the logic that's the difficult part. The code is just the way I tell the computer about the logic. Okay. So, that is my first problem. I need to clear the ink down below, too. Okay, the second one is really the same thing as the first one, so I will put in an 8 and a 4, and it comes up with the answer is 32. And again, I'm putting it in Notepad simply to make it bigger, and also, and I didn't put it in right this time, and also to show both. But you would originally write it in Notepad, so this is where you would originally write it. You write it in Notepad, then you save it, and then you execute it on the browser. The only difference here is that I have the document right. I am putting out a literal. Then I have a comma, which is a separator. And then I have the variable content. That's what I'm going to put out here. This is a variable. variable, and I'm going to take the content of the variable, the way it's stored in memory, and put it out. So on this one, I put in an 8 and a 4, and then when it calculated, it gave me the 32. And I wrote out the answer is 32. Now notice after the S in the answer is, I've left a space. And I left that space so there'd be a space up there. If I didn't leave the space, 32 would have jammed right up against the S. And it wouldn't be as readable. So I left a space inside the quote here, a space right there. And so that means that when I write it, there's a space between the is and the 32. Okay? Yes.
So if you didn't have a space between the is and the quotation mark, then the number would just appear right next up to the is?
Yes. Yes, the 32 would be right up next to the is. Okay. All right, now I want everybody to take a minute and write one of these. Okay? So I want you to write something where you take in two numbers and maybe do a divide or a subtract. Don't do an add. We'll get into adds in a minute. They're a little more complicated.
Yeah, it would be your slash.
Slash, yes, forward slash.
So wait, what are we doing with that?
You're just actually writing just something similar to what I did in Notepad, and then going to save it and load it and get an answer. You can use multiply, you can use divide, you can use subtract, don't use add, because we'll be talking about add in a minute, but add has some complications to it.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, I think it was
what
you had to do if you
want
to add.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Coming up. So do not, for the moment, use add. And if you have problems, Lindsay's looking around in anticipation.
There's going to be some syntax stuff, I know. So picky.
I actually like JavaScript, to be honest with you.
That's good.
Kind of like a little more than Java. A little more
it's
fun.
Probably my favorite language.
Really?
Yeah. I took two classes of Java. I actually liked it at first, and I hate it, so maybe that's what's going to happen with this one. I can't stand Java anymore.
After two semesters, it got hard.
No, it's not that it got hard. It's just like, I don't know, like, I just find it like, it's not like a language like Python, or it's not like a language like C. I just don't like the way this is being
translated.
So if you have questions,
Lindsay
will ask. It is very, very, very picky. We'll talk a little bit about debugging next week, but for now, I'm going to assume you can all type correctly.
That's a very, very grand assumption.
Yeah, but we're only doing about 12 lines. So again, you're writing in Notepad. You can use Notepad++. Okay, either one of them will work.
Now you're using Notepad++. What's the difference?
it gives you a little more information.
It's kind of like an idea.
It lines up parentheses, for example, and things like that.
Have you used brackets?
Right, using notepad. Okay, save with .html extension. And right now, as I said, I would suggest using Firefox because you can get the menu and it just makes life easier. Or is it Control-O?
Control-O to open, yeah. Okay. It could work both hands, like Firefox and Chrome.
Well, I know it works on Chrome for sure, but that's what I do because I usually use Chrome at home. Yep.
If you write a program in Chrome, make a habit checking it in Firefox, though. Because sometimes one will respond differently than the other. Especially if you're going to be using alerts and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, right. And don't use Explorer.
Yeah, you don't use Explorer.
Explorer is...
Wait, people still use Explorer?
I don't think I've ever used Explorer to begin with as soon as Chrome came out.
I still use it.
The issue is, like, you know, like, open a file, the default on these computers is still, like, Explorer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that answers his who uses Explorer question.
Yeah.
If you open the menu again, click on the... What is this icon called? Anybody know the name of that icon?
Which icon?
The one with the lines down like that.
Isn't it like bookmarks?
Yeah, it looks like library.
Library sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
I said library. What's what?
But if you right-click on that, it gives you the chance to bring up a menu bar. And that is a good thing.
Yes, so,
Okay, has everybody got something output? You got output?
I would do that because if you're
probably being
hurt, you don't
want
to tell them that.
Anybody got any questions? So I'm not ever working.
Hey, mine works.
Okay. We're now going to go back and use add num. So click on add num. And again, it says enter the first number, so I will enter 5. And enter the second number. And again, notice the prompt. So I'll enter a 7. And it comes back with the answer is 57 and 12. So apparently there is a problem. Okay, so on this one, I did the prompt. I entered the 5. I entered the 7. It has a plus sign there. But if you look at what it produced 57. Okay? It produced 57. So it didn't add, it concatenated it. And that's the problem with the plus. The plus has two meanings. It can mean concatenate, and it can mean add. And concatenate is putting two things together as one. So a 5 and a 7 put together is 57. Okay? So it did the concatenate. So I gave it first num plus second num. It concatenated those and came up with 57. And then it wrote out 57. Okay, now I have a second variable up there that is called other answer. And so now I'm going to calculate other answer. And I'm doing that by saying parse float. And then putting first num in parentheses, plus parse float, and then putting second num in parentheses. Parse float converts whatever you type in to a number, and parse float allows it to be a decimal. Parse int is used with integers. So you can use parse int if you know that it's an integer and you don't want decimal. Parse float is more flexible and allows you to have decimals. So I'm taking and saying, make sure that I know that that's a number. And parse float basically confirms that that's a number. So I'm taking and confirming that both of them are numbers. So now when I add them together, it actually does an add. Since it knows you have two numbers there, it makes the assumption you want to add, and it actually doesn't add. Okay? Then the next line after that, I want to skip down a line. So I said document write, and I put in the good old HTML BR. So I put it in as a literal, which means that it takes that literal and puts it into the code, and that becomes the literal BR I want to break. And so it will break for you. So I can say document write a BR, and the BR causes a break and it moves down a line. And then when I say document write, the answer is other answer, it's down on the next line. If I didn't do the BR, it would have been on the same line. Now the BR can also be put in, so I could have written here, I could have put the quote, put the BR right at the front here, and then written the answer is. With the other literal that I wanted to put out, and so it would break and then put out the literal. So I can do that either way. Okay. Questions? Okay, so when you have a add, you have to do this, which basically converts it to a number if possible, but more importantly, convinces the browser that you are dealing with numbers and you want to add. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
Why did you not use parse float when you multiply?
Because it's got this problem that a plus has two meanings. The asterisk only means multiply, but the plus has two meanings. And so it has to figure out how to differentiate. And how it differentiates is if you do something to convince it it's got numbers, it doesn't add. Otherwise, it's doing a concatenation.
So it just defaults it to concatenation.
Pardon me?
So it just defaults it to.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So is there any other like symbol that is like plus sign that has two meanings that you would have to do that with?
Not that I can think of. Yeah.
So the parcel. So say if I took a number, like, divide 15 by 4, obviously I'm not going to get a whole number.
Right.
So if I divided that, would I just get, I don't know, would I just get a whole number without it being a decimal?
No, you'll get a decimal.
If I use parcel, right?
If you use parcel, but you don't have to for a divide.
Yes, if I don't have to, then what would I get?
You get to the decimal number.
I threw the decimal without the parcel.
Yeah.
All right, it's not like Java where it doesn't work.
Yeah, but if you look at the
tool. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Add the first number, I'll put 2 and 3, and it gave me 23, and then it gave me 5. Okay. This is basically showing you some other ways of doing it. Parse, okay, quiet please. Parse float works. Parse hint, I don't think I have here, but that is another one that will work. That parses whatever to an integer. Okay, so that's similar to parse float. You can also put the number in parentheses and put a plus sign in front of it. And that convinces it that it's a number. Okay? And so you can do that to convince it it's a number. And you can write the word number in front of it, and that will convince it that it's a number. So you've got a variety of approaches you can take.
Which
yeah.
One is this?
Pardon me?
Which one is it? Like which one?
I think it's the fifth one down. It's called add number C-O-N-T. Add num C-O-N-T dot HTML. So as you can see, I did it all of those three ways, and I got a 5 every time. Adding 2 and 3, I got a 5 every time. When I did nothing, it concatenated, and I got the 23. Okay, yeah.
Is any way better than the others?
I think you'll find that a lot of people use the parse float, but it's a personal, it doesn't matter.
So that's more of a personal preference then?
Yep. Okay, here I said enter the first number, and I'll enter a 2. Enter the second number, 4. Enter a times or a divide. So I'm going to enter a times. And it tells me that the answer is 8. And if I do a view page source, now I'm getting into decisions, into if statements. So I set up the three variables that I've been using before, answer, first num, second num. I also set up a variable called what to do. Notice, by the way, and I should have said this about 10 minutes, 20 minutes ago, notice that all of these lines end with a semicolon. the variables end with a semicolon, the prompts end with a semicolon. When I do the calculations, they end with a semicolon. Okay? So I set up what to do, and what to do I didn't give an initial value to. Okay? I just left it. I could have given it a value of quote, quote, which would have meant nothing's there. If I'd said quote, quote, nothing is there. And the reason I say quote, quote is I am asking what to do to become either an asterisk or a slash. And asterisks or slash are not numbers. Okay? So they are characters. So I could have put in here what to do, and then I could have had equals quote, quote. And that means nothing. Or I could have had quote, space, quote, which means put a space in there. And a space is not nothing. Okay? So then I prompted for the first number, I prompted for the second number, and I prompted for what to do and said enter either an asterisk or a slash. Okay, and I entered in an asterisk. The quote, quote here means in the box where I entered it, there was nothing. I could have put a default of an asterisk there if I thought people were mainly going to multiply or whatever. But the quote, quote means nothing. Okay, so now I've hit an if statement. And when I hit the if statement, this is the condition. Okay? And I'm testing to see if what to do equals an asterisk. Now, first of all, notice that when I do this, I've got two equal signs. Means a sign. So I'm saying assign an asterisk to what to do. Two equal signs means assign. One equal sign means test for equal. Okay. I just did that backwards. Looked at it.
I was gonna say, I was like, am I tripping?
No, I just did it backwards. Sometimes I don't listen to myself well enough. Okay, so what do you think it means? I'm now saying assign, I'm not saying assign, I'm saying test for equal. So I'm testing for equal there. And this is the assign. Sorry about that.
No worries.
And you can see it all the way up here, because here I'm saying assign zero to answer. There's only one equal sign there. So one equal means assign, okay? And two equal means equal compare, an equal comparison. Is it equal? One equal means assign. So here I took in the prompt and I assigned it to first number. Here I took in the prompt, I assigned it to second number. Okay, and I just wrote them wrong, so keep that in mind. Okay, when I want to compare, I put in the equals. So I'm doing a condition. Is what to do equal to an asterisk? If it is, this is what I want to do. If it's true, this is what I want to do if it's false. So if it's true, I want to do a multiply. If it's false, I want to do a divide. Okay, so now I have got the curly braces. And I put curly braces around the stuff that I want to do if it's true. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of stuff in there. But I have curly braces around them. Then I put in an else, and then I have curly braces around what I want to do if it's false. Notice there's no end if. And the reason is, when it finishes with the curly braces, that the true is there's no else, it's done. If there's an else, the curly brace after the false means it's done. Okay, so the curly braces trigger the end as the if. And if there's no else, then it knows you're just dealing with what to do if it's true. If there's an else, then it's what to do if it's true and what to do if it's false. Okay? So I then document right out the answer is answer. And the answer in this case was 8. Okay? So I apparently ended 2 numb things in that would make an 8. Okay? So now what I've got is I want to look at the flowchart that would have gone with this. Okay. So I'm starting out and I'm saying start. Okay. It would prefer that I don't write there apparently. But now we're probably going to make that go away. Nope. So first I am doing a define my variables. And then I'm doing my prompts. And I'm doing a prompt for first num. I'm doing a prompt for a second num, and I'm doing a prompt for what to do. Okay? And then I come down and I ask the question. And the question is what to do equal to an asterisk? Okay? And if it is, then I am going to take and say answer equals first num times second num. If it's a no, then I'm going to come down here and say answer equals first num divided by second num. Then I'm going to do a write and write it out, and then I'm going to stop. So then I do the write and I stop. What happens if I put in a plus sign or a minus sign? Let's say a minus sign. If I put in a minus sign, what will my answer be? Yeah.
Well, display.
No. Look at the logic. If I put in a minus sign, what will it do?
Keep looping.
Pardon me?
Keep looping.
No. I'm not looping here, so no. If I put in a minus sign, yeah.
Oh, it'll divide.
That's right. It will divide.
Oh, because it's false.
That's right. Because I only asked one question. Is it equal to an asterisk? If it's equal to an asterisk, I want to multiply. Anything else, I want to divide. If I put in a B, it's going to divide.
Yep.
If I put in a decimal point, it's going to divide. Anything else I put in, it's going to do a divide. So, that means that this is probably not the best code in the world. What I should have is another question, okay? I need to have another question in here. Because what I want to do is I want my decision, and I don't have room to do the whole thing, so I'm just going to look at the decision. I'm going to say if what to do equals an asterisk, I am going to do the multiply. Okay? And sometimes that's what we put out. A flowchart, again, is to help you out. So you don't have to necessarily say, multiply first number by second number and put it in answer. You can say, I'm going to do the multiply. So if it's not, then I want to ask the next question, is what to do equal to a slash? And if it is, I want to do the divide. If it's not, then I've got an error. So that's how I need to change my if statement, so that I say, okay, if what to do equals an asterisk, do a multiply. If not, ask if what to do equals a slash. If it does, do a divide. If not, I've got an error.
So that's two if statements.
That's right. So I've got two if statements. Okay? So now I've got to go back and add that in. So on my else, what do I want to do on my else now? Okay, I have the first question there, what to do equals an asterisk, do a multiply. This is my else, is the no. What do I do first on the no? Yeah.
If you take an if parentheses, what to do equals.
That's right.
Divide.
And notice that the condition is inside parentheses. So if what to do equals a divide. Okay? Now, I could have put the two equal signs up here in the flowchart. But in fact, when I'm writing in the flowchart, I'm writing in English. And I understand that I'm supposed to be comparing. So I can just put the equal sign. If you want to remind yourself that I'm in JavaScript, therefore I need two equal signs, go ahead and throw that in. But it's not a requirement. So I'm saying if what to do equals the divide, then what am I going to put next? If what to do equals a divide, what do I want to do? I want to do a divide, right? And so I have to enclose that in what? The curly braces. So I'm putting in a curly brace there, and I'm saying answer. And I don't have to type that. I can bring it up. And it's probably easier to type it, but anyway. Okay, so I'm saying answer equals first num divided by second num. So that's what I want to do. And then what do I need to put in?
To put in else?
That's right. Then I need to put in an else, and then I need to tell it that answer equals, and I can put just the word error, or I could put a zero there, or whatever I wanted to put. Okay, have I got everything taken care of now? Well, the first thing to do is check my curly braces and make sure that they all open and close. So there's my true there. I come down, this one has a curly brace. I'm not seeing a close of that. I've got, this is true for the second question. This is true for the false question. But this one is missing a close. Okay, I never close that curly brace. And everything that has an open curly brace you need to have a closed curly brace. And I literally go through and count the left ones and the right ones and see if they count the same. Yeah.
Isn't that curly brace an extra curly brace that doesn't need to be there?
It probably doesn't need to be there, but if you follow the rules right, it does. Okay. So I'm now going to put in that closed curly brace. If you go by the rules, yes, you need that. Can you get away with it? Lots of browsers, yes, you can. I think you all probably can. But if you follow the rules of how it's supposed to be done, you're going to have a curly brace there. And so now it's no longer missing it. I've got the close of it. And this is the false for the first question. So the false on the first question is asking that whole second question. Okay. So that is now putting in the code. So now let's see if we did it right. So I'm going to get rid of the smart ink and say file, save as, and we'll call this multdiv2.html. And now I'm going to come over and open this. So I'm going to say file, open file, and I'm going to go to multdiv2, and it says enter the first number, and I'll put in 6. Enter the second number, I'll put in 3. Enter a slash or a divide, I'll put in a divide, and the answer is 2. Okay? If I refresh this and put in a 7 and a 5 and a minus symbol, it gets the answer is error. So the answer is error if I put in a minus sign. Yeah.
What would happen if you didn't have that second else?
It wouldn't give you the error. It would just do the multiply or divide and would do nothing. Okay, if you didn't put in anything else, it would just do nothing. But it's nice to let people know when they messed up. Okay, so you want to have that error in there so that they know that they messed up and they're not saying, I got nothing, this program's not working. Okay, whereas error tells them that they're not working, but doing nothing indicates I can make the program at fault. I'll say it's the program's fault, okay, as opposed to taking responsibility for it. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want you, in the 15 minutes that is left, make this be able to handle multiply, divide, add, or subtract. Okay, lucky you. How obnoxious.
I was going to ask how to do it, but then I was like, well, this seems like something like I want to try and see if I can figure it out on my own, and I did.
Okay.
And
then everybody else now has to figure it out. Okay?
We're
going to need to be the time. You weren't supposed to say it. Excuse me.
So I was going to ask, but then I never got a chance to ask because I was raising my hands to ask, but you never called me. So I was just like, well, I guess I'll figure this out on my own.
Okay. So now, instead of having error here, you're going to ask another question about either plus or you can ask about minus, but you're going to be asking other questions. The good way to do this would be to sit here and draw the flowchart first so that you have the flowchart of this and then try to put it into JavaScript.
You just want it so we can divide, multiply, add and subtract.
Add and subtract, right.
Only two numbers?
Hmm?
Only two numbers?